And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. From the Acts of the Apostles. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. For a long time, I had the hardest time understanding if Jesus had to be delivered into the hands of evil men to be crucified in order for us to receive salvation, why are those responsible for it held accountable? I mean, if it was part of God's plan, then they basically had no choice in the matter, right? Jesus had to die on that cross to take away the sins of the world. The prophets spoke of it. Jesus himself was aware of it. He told the disciples that it was going to happen. But that mindset kind of makes things difficult because it makes God essentially the author of evil. If he planned all along for this to happen to his only begotten Son, how in the world could we say that we have a loving and merciful Father? See, the problem is that we have such a finite view of an infinite God. To get a better idea of how all this works, we can look at creation and God's original intention. In the beginning, there was a very simple, straight line from point A to point B. Point A, create. Point B, pour out blessings upon that creation and live in pure harmony and happiness with perfect love and communion between Creator and creation. It's a pretty awesome plan, if you ask me. But from that first sin in the garden, all we have done is add innumerable obstacles and detours so that the journey from point A to point B is no longer a nice straight line, but a jumbled mess, even to the point where arrival at the original destination was, in fact, unattainable. But since then, God has been doing everything to keep us on course, leading us through our stubbornness and our unwillingness to follow directions. And he will. His divine plan will not be thwarted because, you see, he's had the map all along. He knows exactly how to navigate every twist and turn that we throw at him. It is his desire for all of mankind to reach that original destination, to live with him in eternal joy and happiness. He has given us everything we need to get there, going so far as to send his only Son to open the way, and through our faith, he will make sure that we arrive. Yet, the fact that he can see the whole map and knows the entire route that each of us must take in advance, that doesn't make him responsible for our choices, nor does his course correction make us any less liable for our sins. Yes, it was necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up, but it isn't as if those who were responsible for it were on board with this plan. They did it in their ignorance of God's plan and in their sinfulness. They were still guilty of demanding the violent death of the unblemished Lamb, Jesus, who had no sin. God turning evil to good according to his purposes doesn't excuse the evil that was done. If we commit some sin and then come to realize that God brought a greater good from it, we still have to say that we're sorry. Imagine, for instance, that one night you and a friend go out and maybe have a little too much to drink. You decide that you're okay to drive, but you aren't, and you get into a wreck and severely injure your friend. But because your friend has to go to the hospital, the doctors find a cancer and catch it early enough to save his life. Does this excuse your sin? Because clearly God must have planned it this way. Absolutely not. He merely used sinful irresponsibility to work towards his purposes. But that doesn't let us off the hook. You wouldn't expect the police to hear that story and conclude, "Huh, oh wow, good thing you were driving drunk, and not charge you with drunk driving or reckless endangerment." We always have to repent because we don't hand God our lemons expecting him to make lemonade. We do it because our hearts have a sinful inclination to produce bitter, sour fruit. Recognizing where God is acting in the midst of the fallenness of this world is definitely a cause for thanksgiving, but it is only our repentance that allows us to actually get back on track. So before this gets to be too much like a Lenten sermon, we rejoice in the beauty of how God works in these ways. It is clearly a reason for us to rejoice. We have a God who takes our foolishness, our carelessness, he takes our selfishness and our brokenness, and not only forgives us for all of it, he also somehow managed to take all of that and work it into his master plan to get us from point A to point B. He sent the apostles by his Holy Spirit to convert the same men who killed his son, who didn't realize that their evil actions were the very vehicle by which they would be able to obtain their salvation. We rejoice because we are them. Each one of our sins adds to the throng of cries for blood. They are all part of the crushing weight that Jesus felt on the cross, yet he forgives us. We triumph in the victory of the cross, not because we are proud of the contributions we made to put Jesus there, but because in his love for us, he willingly took those sins upon himself so that we could be freed from them. And then to top it off, he takes them and uses them to further the work of his kingdom. It is truly amazing. We have a God who is more powerful than we are weak, who is more gracious than we are broken, who is more loving than our capacity to hate. We rejoice in Jesus' resurrection and victory over death and the power he has to transform a cross to a throne in all of our lives. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.